understand that if you're getting touched by the Lord, you probably don't need to hear me. Just get touched by the Lord. Amen. Can we get some light so I can see the faces of the angels of God? How many guys are an angel tonight? No, you're not. That's false doctrine. Hey, let me tell you a funny story really quick. So, how many guys did the Bible study class today? Raise your hand. First off, you guys are absolutely amazing. And I was just telling Pastor Lisa, like, I'll talk about this a little bit more here in a bit, but there's going to be a day that you're going to wake up, maybe in this life and maybe in the heavens, you know, maybe wherever it is, but there's going to be a day you wake up and you look back and you're going to realize who you were the entire time. You know? And I was just sitting there listening to people talk today, and the hunger, not just for the things of God, but for the depth of the things of God, is phenomenal on you guys. Like, it's crazy. And as many places and faces we get to see in ministry, this is rare. Like, it's crazy rare. And so I just want to honor you guys, because the what God can do in this place tonight can be insane. Not because we're, like, perfect, not because we're good. We all understand that. We are the perfection, the righteousness of Christ. Amen. But he just wants to do it because he wants to do it, right? And all God's ever waiting on is somebody to say, hey, Father, will you do it, right? Someone asked a question today in Bible study. They said, well, we were talking the other day, and this isn't like to knock you. I think it was a great question. They were talking today, and they said, you know, we were looking back how, like, Paul would heal the sick or raise the dead, or Jesus would heal the sick or raise the dead, and we're just going, like, why can't we do that today? And really, that's the answer. Why can't you do that today? Amen. There's something on your life that is such a mystery concealed that God is bringing forth, especially on this generation, not to minimize the move of God to an age group. It's for everybody. And I believe even if you're here tonight and you're of the more than youth persuasion, the mature group, you're still young at heart or you wouldn't be here. Amen. And so God's going to do something in regards to awakening sons and daughters. Amen. But during that Bible study today, we prayed a sweet joke on Pastor Jeremy. It was awesome, too. So awesome, he had to leave and go to the bathroom. So Jeremy's gone, and we come back, and we play this little game when I, you know, do this on the count of three. Everybody screams, right? And so comes back, nice Bible study setting, nice and intimate, sweet. Somebody asks a question. Jeremy's responding. Good pastor, like a good pastor should. And he's like, well, you know, I really thank God, and really digging in his heart to pull the answer out for this young lady. And all of a sudden, everybody just screams in his face. It was awesome. It was so awesome. And then he went to the bathroom for some weird reason, so in the other room, not where he was sitting, but I probably would have went where I was sitting. Turn to Romans 8 if you have a Bible. If not, I'm thinking they have Bible on the wall. I'm going to be really short because I just feel like, and I'm going to tell you this up front because I don't want to, like, I want us to expect what God's going to do tonight. Yeah. It's going to get crazy in here tonight. And, oh no, you don't know yet. Like, every time we come here, it's my third year, right, coming to youth camp. And I've grown up so much coming here. And it's crazy anyway, right? How many of you guys know that this place is crazy, you know? But tonight, I feel like he's going to take you to a whole nother level of crazy. And it's a good crazy. Some of you guys are like, I don't think I want to go. No, it's a good crazy. And here's what I want to tell you on the onset of tonight before I start talking about things. Whatever you're dealing with, there's power to break tonight. Okay? Is that okay? How many? Be honest and don't make this heavy. If you're dealing with something and you're walking through something, that's not a heavy thing always. I understand it can be heavy on the heart. It can weigh on our spirit, on our flesh, on our soul. But every time something is against you, it means God's going to break you through something. So every time you're dealing with something, it's because there's amazing things on the horizon. Yeah. So how many of you guys tonight, just in an honest, humble way, would say, man, I've just got something in life I want to get through? Raise your hand. Even if you're not a young person tonight, raise your hand. Look around the room. This is family, okay? We're honest with each other, yeah? And even though we know the work's finished, because it's finished, that means there's some things in our life that don't stand anymore, amen? So if you're sick here tonight, we're going to go after it, yeah? If you're depressed here tonight, we're going after it, amen? Some of you guys are like, I don't know about this going after it, yeah? Here's the other thing. This is the one I don't want to exclude because it's just as powerful. Even if you don't need anything tonight, we're going after it. Amen? So after we finish the word, we're going after some stuff. I don't even know what that is yet, okay? Did everybody wear deodorant, though? If we can get the armor bearers to pass out some deodorant, would be good. Because it's going to be sweaty. All right, everybody good? All right, shh, no, pay attention. Everybody listen. Shh, 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 shh. This is a really profound statement I'm about to make. You ready? Romans chapter 8. You there? That was the statement. Here's what I want to talk to you guys about tonight for a few minutes. A familiar passage. Everybody knows it. Who's writing Romans? Does anybody know? Paul, the Apostle Paul. Everybody say Paul. He was a great guy, really good guy. It says, therefore there is now no what? Condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Say, yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's amazing. Here's what I want to point out about Paul, okay? And I got to confess, I'm not the right guy for tying themes together. So if I can just say this to make it work, Paul's a hero or something, right? He's a hero. He's like a hero of the faith. He wrote a lot of books of the Bible. We look to him as a great apostle, right? Now, everybody knows this here. Paul had issues just like you and I, right? Paul was healing the sick, raising the dead. He was casting out devils. His handkerchief, his shadow would heal people. I mean, the guy was crazy, right? He started to look just like Jesus looked when he walked the planet. But what we don't own up to all the time is that Paul was an ordinary person just like you and I, yeah? And the beauty of Jesus and what I love about Jesus is that although he was divine nature God, he submitted himself to such a place that even he would seek and obey the Father's will. Now, here's what's fascinating. He and the Father were one. Does anybody know what the word paradox means? Okay, let me give you an example. Paradox is like saying it is and it isn't all at the same time. Does that make sense? Paradox is kind of like saying the kingdom is here, but the kingdom's coming. Both can be true, right? So the beauty of Jesus is that although he was God, he was also man. And Jesus submitted himself such to the point of manhood, to humanity, that even he himself would surrender all divine opportunity to perform his will, to surrender to the will of the Father. And the way that Jesus lived life that was supernatural, the way that he healed the sick and raised the dead, the way that he would cleanse lepers and cause a withered hand to be stretched out is nothing more than his obedience to the will of the Father. See, living a life, especially in the supernatural, is way more easy than we've made it. And this is why I appreciated the questions we had today, because they were so sincere. Hey, how do we do that? How do we do that? You know, the most simple answer is just get so in tune with Father and just do what he says. Yeah? See, the Christian life doesn't start until we get into the realm of impossibility. Can I say that? Does that make sense? In other words, if there's no risk involved, and risk isn't always scary, it's really fun, actually. If there's no risk involved, I think this is, I don't know if Mark Sanchez says this or somebody, but fruit's always born out on the limb, which means you have to go out to get it. In the most vulnerable spot of the tree, where it could break, where you could fall, you may be afraid of heights, but that's always where the fruit comes from, yeah? Probably not in every case, I'm not a scientist, but for the most of the time, okay? If you're going to pick an apple, You're going to have to climb some limbs, yeah? A lot of times we're asking God for fruit, for fruit, for fruit. And I think about people like Paul and Jesus who they had such fruit in their life, yet it seemed so effortless. It literally just followed them wherever they go. And the scripture does say that these signs shall follow who? Them who what? Believe, right? Are you believers? Okay, well then these things have to follow you. Not in a legalistic way, but I'm saying it's the product of what you believe in. Amen. How many of you guys are hungry to see the world change supernaturally? And I love what we do. I love our messages. I love our outreach programs. I love the evangelical movements and all that we've done. But the generation that's rising up will not do it the same way that everyone else did it. Yeah, and it's not going to be a stressed out burden, work for revival kind of thing. It's going to be a thing that is so easy because we know how just to rest in the posture that God created you to rest in. And when you get to that place with Father that is so intimate that you can hear His whisper and respond without frustration, you're going to start to see miracles in your life. You're going to start to see people get saved, people filled with the Holy Spirit, cancer be deleted without even having to mess yourself up over it because you're not responsible. Amen. Paul is a guy. Here's what I want to say, though. Paul drew some absolutes in his life and in his heart because of what he experienced. Paul's making the statement. He says, therefore, there's no condemnation. Amen. That's great, right? Everybody cheer for Paul. It's amazing. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, why did Paul make that statement? First off, he's saying therefore, which implies there was a thing leading up to his therefore, meaning he was making some statements that would cause him to settle on this one thing that he refused to move from. Okay, so turn back to Romans 7, and I want you to hear the confession of Paul because it's pretty funny. Everybody say Shabba. Romans 7:14. And I'm going to teach on this just for a couple minutes, and it might be a little tricky. Okay? This is a very wordy, tricky passage of Scripture that most of us know. Listen to Paul's confession. Now, context here. Paul's already an apostle. Paul's already planning and fathering churches. Paul's already seen the sick, heal the dead, raise the demons, cast out. This was his life daily at this point. Knew who he was. He knew the grace of God on his life. He knew that he was the righteousness of Christ. He knew that he had been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, he lives, but it's not him. It's Christ living in him. And Paul's about to write statements that would seem contrary to what he knows ultimately to be true. And he would say this. He says, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual. Now, this is a hang-up, because we know that Paul and all of his other writings, when you sum it up, we understand that Paul, knowing who he was, knew the Spirit of God that dwelled in him, and he understood the spirit nature that he carried. So it seems like Paul is drawing a conclusion to himself, saying, man, I'm nothing like that, even though he knows that he is. He goes on to say, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but I hate But what I hate, I do. Verse 16, and if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it's sin living in me. I like this one. Because it's like saying, Mom, I just killed the cat, but it was not me. It was sin living in me. I'm free. Or, Mom, I hit the neighbor's dog and they're really mad. How many of you guys understand if I kick Tyler in the head right now, which I would not do because I'm a Christian. If I kicked Tyler in the head right now and I said, it is no longer I who do this, but it's sin living in me, Tyler. Do you think Tyler's going to be mad at me or my little sin minion that's invisible and doesn't exist? Probably be mad at me, right? Am I right? Don't pull the grace card. You'd be mad. Listen, everybody's got grace till you get kicked in the face. And yeah, we'll test that theory too, so we would never kick you. We love you. So here's Paul coming to this amazing confession. He's saying, you know what? I do the thing that I don't want to do. The thing I do want to do, I can't seem to do. I don't understand it. Everybody say confusion. Now, God's not the author of confusion. Which means when we're confused about a matter, especially where it's the Spirit working in our lives, it's usually an issue of the flesh or an issue of a lie that maybe the enemy's sown or the world's told us. Amen? So Paul's writing, he says, and if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good as it is. It is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. He puts it in context, okay? For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Listen, this is so vulnerable. This is the Apostle Paul. He wrote the bulk of our New Testament. This is the apostle being so vulnerable and identifying a guy who has seen the dead raised. He's seen church. I mean, he's fathering. He's correcting constantly, writing letters. In fact, this is a letter, right? Here's what I want you to understand. Before Paul wrote any of this section of Scripture, he knew how he was about to follow it up. Now, how did he know that? Because the thing that he's writing about was not something he was just making up or writing a story on the spot. He was writing it because of the encounter that changed his life forever, okay? So Paul's writing this. He says, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing. How many of you guys have ever felt like this? Don't lie, get real. How many of you guys have ever you're like, you know you shouldn't do that, and you just do it anyway. Raise your hand, everybody. Okay? I will prophesy sin. No, I won't. Here's what I want to encourage you in. Listen to me. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, but there is conviction. One of the things we have to be cautious of is that we don't become so numb to the leading of the Father that we lose the Holy Spirit's conviction. Amen? Condemnation is not for you. It's not from the Lord. It'll push you away from God. But the conviction, which convicts you not just of sin, but of righteous nature, is constantly drawing you to the will and the likeness of God, not just someday, but right now. Yeah? Paul understood this. He understood the call and the pull of conviction. He's making these statements, and he goes on to say, says this one again. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it's sin living in me. Says it again. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. Listen to this statement. Here's his confession. For inside of me, I'm delighting in the law of God. See, the reason he's in turmoil is because there's something greater in him that is contradicting the thing that he's doing or he's experiencing on surface human level. See, Paul's acting things out. He's doing things he doesn't want to do. The thing he does want to do, he can't seem to do. He's confused. He says, I don't understand it. Everything's got me in an uproar. I can't quite figure it out. Is it me? Is it the flesh? Okay, I understand. It's not me. It's sin living in me. And then Paul says again, it's not me. And he says, I find this law at work. Listen to this statement. Paul delights in God's law. He says, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind. Say mind. And making me a prisoner, say prisoner, of the law of sin at work within me. Listen to this next statement. This is not a confession, by the way. Okay? It says, what a wretched man I am. Now, we all know that if we stop there, that's really depressing. Right? How many guys are sick of being depressed? Yeah? If we stop there, it's really depressing. Then he goes on to say, who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Does anybody know the next word? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Christ Jesus the Lord. Here's the mystery that we face. The reason Paul was in this posture. See, Paul knew how to sum everything up, and he goes on to say, so then, I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Everything that Paul was facing that was adversary to his nature, that contradicted the words spoken over him, has been put to death. Everybody understands this, right? How did Paul come to these conclusions, though? Here's what I want to point out. Paul didn't have the Bible in 85 translations or how many ever there are, probably hundreds, that you have today. right? I heard a guy say one time about the King James Bible. I didn't hear him, but someone quoted this, that if it was good enough for Paul, it's good enough for us. That was about 1600 years too early. There was no such thing. How did Paul get to this place of a supernatural life, one who would father churches? He would bring perspective and wisdom to those in need. How do you think he got there? Paul's walking. At the time, his name was Saul. He's walking down a road to persecute those who were following Jesus. His whole thing was to trip them up so that he could bring them prisoner back with him. His whole mission was to tear down the thing that Jesus had stirred up. Paul's walking on that road. All of a sudden, Paul's thrown face down. A crazy light comes out, and a voice falls and says, "What are you doing, Paul?" Or he says, "Saul." You know the story. I'm skipping a little bit. He says, "What are you doing?" Paul says, "Who the heck is this?" How many of us understand that when God does something, it can be crazy? Yeah. See, everything Paul, his entire life of ministry, didn't just flow from his understanding. It didn't flow from what he read in the Word. It didn't flow from what he got through relationship. It flowed and started, the whole match struck, when he had an encounter that was so far beyond himself and impossible. It would fuel and sustain the burn for the rest of his days as an apostle and a father to the church. Paul healed the sick and he raised the dead. He cast out demons. He discipled others to do the same. He imparted. Not because he understood any of it. He did it because he had an encounter that he didn't need to understand. Yeah. God wants you to have encounters more than you have understanding. And that's a little risky to say in some places. Yeah. If you can answer every question, then you've already found the place that you stop. How do we heal the sick? We don't. That's how we do it. We surrender to the one who can. Amen. Because here's what happens. See, for far too long, I've probably said this here before, but for far too long what the church has done is we've mixed faith and hope. And what we've taught to the saints of God, or especially young people, we've taught people, hey man, go for it, and that's great, and we should go for it, and we're going to encourage you more on that tonight. But what we've done subconsciously is what we've called faith has actually been hope. And so what happens is we've been so cultured to not see the supernatural of God that when we lay hands on somebody, it realistically, we're just hoping that it happens. But we say, well, no, I've got faith. I got faith. If you got to tell yourself every 5 seconds you have faith, that's not faith working. Faith doesn't have to announce itself. It just reacts to what it already believes to be true. If you're hoping that it happens, you're going to have to constantly tell yourself. And let me say this. There's nothing wrong with that either. Hope. Until you believe it, keep hoping for it. Nothing wrong with it. Lay hands on people anyway. Even if you don't believe in miracles, try it. In fact, he'll probably use you before he will the ones who do sometimes. Yeah, but see, what happens when we hope for it is we lay hands on somebody, they get healed, and we go, oh my gosh, and we freak out because it worked. Like, oh my gosh, did you see your leg? Did you see the tumor? It just exploded. She had a big lump on her head, and now it's gone. And we freak out because we're like, holy cow. Why? Because we were just hoping that it worked. Yeah? Here's the problem with hope, though, is the scripture says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. Meaning when it doesn't work, we have to start to figure out why. And it's in the figuring out why that we numb ourselves to the next mission, the next statement, the next laying on of hands. Sometimes the disappointment we carried for so long, we didn't see this, God, we didn't see this, we didn't see this, we believed this was going to be it, God, I thought my friend would get saved, I thought I was going to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight, it didn't happen, I thought this would be healed, I thought that was going to be healed, and we carry all this to the Lord, and although he'll listen to it, I'll be honest, I think God's tired of hearing some of the stuff we bring. Can I say that? Yeah. He's not tired of you, but he is tired of our confessions sometimes. Yeah? We're so focused on what's not there, we don't know how to respond to what is there. Yeah. We're so focused on the fact the world's still out of control. We're still so intimidated by sin, you know, that we have to talk about it all the time. Can I tell you that Jesus isn't intimidated? Why? Because he's not worried about what's not there yet. Because he understood what he sowed would be there eventually, and it would far outweigh anything that's ever been before. Yeah. Here's the mystery of the harvest of Jesus in the church. The harvest of Jesus in the church. I don't know how much you guys hear about this terminology. You hear the prophetic voices in the world right now, just hundreds of books written on the subject. Most of the time we think harvest, we think, you know, a million people coming in the doors. And that's great. But that's not harvest. That's more seed. See, a harvest, by scientific observation, is the maturing of a seed that's already been sown. Where do you think he sowed his seed? How old do you think you have to be to start seeing it come to fruition? Huh? Yeah. How many guys, just be honest, I'm just talking tonight. Is this okay? How many of you guys would be honest with yourself tonight and say, hey, sometimes I've let my age stop me because I think I'm not there yet? How many of you guys have ever said that? Yeah. Let me encourage you first off. I'm a 31-year-old pastor of a church. We planted. It's thriving. It's amazing. God's doing phenomenal things. I credit everything God's doing to the fathers and the leaders that I've had in my life. And Lynn Hiles being a father who just imparted the gospel to me. And there's no way we'd be doing what we're doing today if it weren't for relationships like that in my life who gave me the gospel, right? Dude, I mean, set my life free with his ministry. And now God's touching hundreds of people through our ministry. And I get all the time, you know, because I live in a southern culture town. Where everything's sweet, you know. And the area is really traditional, and I love traditional. I'm not knocking it or trying to build a gang against them. But when people find out I'm a pastor in that community, they freak out. Just like he did. That's the exact reaction. But what's more funny is we have people in our church that are probably, you know, 70, 80 years old. We'll be out to lunch somewhere, you know, breaking bread, and somebody will come up, they know, and they'll be like, oh, and this is our pastor. And people just double take, like, what the heck are you talking about? You know, and I just smile and wave, hey, yeah. If I let my age stop me, I would actually be denying the will of God for my life. Yeah. If I let my age trip me up, I wouldn't say the things that God's empowered me to say. If I let my age stop me, I would be so scared and timid that I wouldn't have the guts to lay hands on the sick and see them healed. And I say not to toot our horn, but we've had the privilege of seeing cancer healed. We've seen, I'm not talking about like even with medicine, I'm talking about tumor and then it's gone. We've seen tons of things healed, yeah? When I was very young, just a little bit of my testimony, and I just want a doggy pile, okay? Here's the funny thing of Paul's statement. This is where everything started to change for me. And we preach this here all the time, yeah? Sometimes we don't listen to our own confession, though. Sometimes you're so busy listening to someone else's confession over you, you can't even embrace your own heart. You don't even know yourself. Others can even call it out on you, but you can't know it sometimes. And I remember one time, this is probably, I don't know, 12, 13 years ago, I was just dealing... Everybody get ready to gasp, okay? I was dealing with a sin issue. Right there, yep. You guys thought I was awesome. And here's the thing about this issue. It really wasn't a big deal in my life. It was just a character thing that God was just drawing. And it wasn't condemning at all. It was actually the beauty of conviction as God was pulling you into a place and a posture of what he's created you to be. And even though it's really painful sometimes, it's so glorious in the moment. It's so paradox. It's like it hurts. See, Jesus is, he can cut you and heal you all at the same swipe. Yeah? This is how it works, how the word works, right? And I'm dealing with this issue. And I'm in the shower because that's where I go to seek God. Because it steams up and you feel like the Shekinah really hit. You know, and it's like, woo! Lord, is that you? Is that you? you know? And the water's falling, you're singing Let It Rain, soap on a rope swinging, you know, everything's smelling good. You think it's like oil, the scent of something stirring up, you know. I mean, it's an open heaven, right? And so you're in the shower and, you know, everything's going, angels are rejoicing, and I'm sitting there praying to the Lord, right? And here was my confession. This is all I was saying. No she, babas, no nothing. I was just confessing God. And I was like, God, I don't want this. I don't want this. Lord, I don't want this. I don't want this. And I remember I was just so tired of it. I just kept saying, God, I don't want this. I don't want this. And here's what I thought was going to happen. I thought if I said it enough, he was going to come down and just pop it. See, sometimes God will set you free like that. Sometimes he requires a journey. And I want to be cautious here because God doesn't put stuff on you, but he does use the things that are on you. Why? Because we know that Jesus is an overcomer, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. The challenge is we don't know that we're overcomers. And so sometimes it takes adversity in our life to walk through something so that what's on the inside can rise up and overtake things in your life. See, I heard a guy say one time that he was talking to a young man who battled with lust and pornography, and this was a pastor. And he told the young man, he said, you know what, though, you're just always going to deal with that. And see, that honestly made me really mad. Like, kick Tyler in the face mad, right? Because I don't believe that you're going to always deal with that. I believe you were called to overcome things that previous generations couldn't overcome. Yeah, I don't believe you have to sit at your computer every single night battling whether to go to that website. I don't believe you have to sit on the other line with your boyfriend or girlfriend battling, God, am I going to give in to this? Am I going to do the thing I don't want to do? And the thing that I do want to do, why can't I seem to do it, God? And you can't use grace as an excuse and say, well, it's no longer I, it's sin living in me. See, here's the beauty of Paul's confession, though. Paul didn't remain in bondage. See, just like Jason was kind of sharing the other night, see, the beauty of Jesus is that his mercy meets us where we are, but his grace is what doesn't leave you there. See, mercy met a withered hand, but the grace of God caused it to be stretched forth and transformed right in front of his face. See, the grace of God empowers you to overcome every last drop of what is not him right here, right now. God's waiting on a generation. And so I'm confessing to God, God, I don't want this. I don't want this. I don't want this. And the Holy Spirit speaks to me. This changed my life forever. And this is all he said. I'm expecting, something crazy, you know. The Lord spoke to me and said, I know you don't. I'm like, well, thanks, God. That was really good. Thank you for that revelation. But it really was a revelation. He said, I know you don't. He said, that's your real heart you're confessing. You're just not listening to it. Because my battle was, the entire time was, man, I'm less than, I've got a problem. I'm battling this sin issue. I don't want this. But I was never listening to my real heart, which was saying, I don't want this. And once I realized who I really was and said, oh my gosh, I don't want this. I don't want this. It changed me from the posture of a beggar to a son. Yeah. And so instead of saying, God, I don't want this, I don't want this, I said, I don't want this. Let the music play and the heavens rejoice. I don't want this, right? And that moment forever changed my life because what I begin to realize, just like Paul would write, in my heart, in my being, I delight in the heart and the law of God. It's pulling me closer. It's drawing me to every last bit of bondage is broken, you know? And I started to have encounters with God. I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I was born and raised a Southern Baptist biscuit-eating somebody, right? And there was no such thing as tongues. And we definitely didn't handle snakes, right? Now we do now. Every fourth Sunday, Snake Sunday at Unified. You guys, come on down. Just kidding. But I fell so in love with this pursuit of God. And in that pursuit, in that journey, stuff started happening. I knew nothing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I never knew what tongues were. I never knew even what real worship was, yeah. And I remember driving in my car one day, and I was just so, see if any of you guys can identify with us. I was so hungry for the Lord. I was so desperate, not for even the things of God. I didn't know what the things of God were. I didn't know anything about we're going to walk in power and all that stuff. I didn't know anything. I just knew his reality is so amazing. I've got to have more. And so I started begging God for more. I was just like, God, I want more and more. And I remember just singing out to God for the first time in my car. Got a real expression of worship. Everything's coming alive. I'm swerving off the road and don't worship and drive, right? I'm having this crazy encounter with God. All of a sudden, words weren't enough. And this just crazy thing starts flowing out. I start speaking in tongues. I didn't know what tongues were. I didn't even realize what took place until about 10 minutes later when I stopped the car. And I thought, dude, demons. I got a demon, right? Yeah? I thought I've done open some dark door to the other side. And so I start moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm about to get a little weird, okay? And I want to preface this by saying we don't build the church on weird stuff. But God is weird sometimes. And if we'll just be vulnerable, he'll build and be weird at the same time. It's the only way it can work, right? And I haven't shared a lot of my testimonies with hardly anybody because they're just not what we build on, right? Testimonies are amazing. But I started having encounters with God, and this might be a little spooky. Leave me if you want to. I started seeing sick people healed, okay? And this is pre-ministry me. This is just me figuring out what the heck's going on in my life. All of a sudden, I was just somebody afraid of what color the moon was because that's how I was raised. I would watch TV show, it'd be orange, and I thought the rapture's coming, I'm going to die, and you know, and I kind of got scared into loving God. And so I, for probably a year, I'm wrestling with God. Am I even saved? Does it work? Is it because I sinned again? Do I do it? Blah, 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 blah. And I have this crazy dream one night that was so much more than, how many of you guys have had something that's just more than a dream, right? I had this crazy dream one night, and all that was in the dream, it was like the whole night, this is all that was in the dream, was all of a sudden these just huge arms came out and just embraced me. And I woke up, I remember waking up in my bed, and that embrace was literally still so thick I couldn't even move my physical body. And the Lord just began speaking to me. I got you. He secured my salvation. I get filled with the Holy Spirit. Things start happening. I had a stomach illness that had bothered me for probably about 6 or 7 years. About every single night, I would get nauseous to the point I wanted to throw up, which is a very beautiful thing. And I'd get nauseous to the point I wanted to throw up. I would never throw up. I would just be sick all the time. And I remember one night I was driving, and I just had this crazy encounter with the Lord, and I didn't understand all this at the time. And I'm driving. I remember exactly where I was. I was on this bridge going to my house, and I stopped the car, and I'm just like crying out to God. You know, it's like, I don't even remember what I said. I just remember all of a sudden, here's a little spooky. I don't know how to describe this. Ryan and I were just talking about some vision stuff. And sometimes when you have encounters with the Lord, and I can understand what the old prophets were writing when they said it was like it was a. It wasn't like it was something, it was like it was a something, right? You can't articulate what you're trying to articulate. But it was like all of a sudden, everybody good for weird for a minute? I'm not lying. I just got to give you how it happened, okay? There's some things even that's happened to me that would probably not fit my theology, okay? But he's my theology now, okay? And it was like all of a sudden, like I was nauseous. I was having it again, and I believed. I was like, man, God, you healed every sickness, every disease, and I had that much revelation. All of a sudden, it was like a vacuum sucked me up out of the car. Now, not physically. I wasn't raptured. I was still in the car, okay? But there was such a translation and almost just, I don't know how to describe it, it's just a crazy, it was more than a vision, it was almost tangible. How many of you guys have ever had something like that? Raise your hand. And it pulled me up, and it was like all of a sudden, this is where I really started getting revelation of the cross. It's like I was on the cross of Jesus. And the Lord let me look down, and in the vision, the moment, whatever the heck it was, I could see my car. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, here's what's impossible, and he pointed me to the stomach issue. And like that, everything stopped. I was in the car, stomach issue was gone, never came back, and that was 12 years ago, 10 years ago. It goes on, and I would sit at my bed at night, and I was so hungry for God, for his presence. I would put worship on, I would lay on my face in my room for hours upon hours. This went on for about 2 years. I didn't hardly have any friends. I was just so desperate from God. I told him 100 times, God, I'm so crazy right now. I'm going to pull a, you know, John the Baptist and live in the woods until you do something, right? Like, and I was dead. No, I'm dead serious. Like, I was literally, I can't tell you how many times I went to the edge of the woods and said, I'm not eating, I'm not doing anything, until the world's changed. Because he put such a burn in my heart for something greater than what I understood. Okay? And so I started having these crazy moments with God, and I started having crazy out-of-body experiences. Anybody had one of those? I might lose everybody. Just trust me. I'm not even a weird guy, right? Okay. I'm just going to keep telling you anyway. I'm going to pop the bubble here. Countless times, I can't count them on one hand, I would just be in the presence of the Lord, and I would have these weird out-of-body moments where you're just so caught up in this presence with God, I could literally see my body. And I know this is spooky. Don't freak out, okay? I don't know how else to explain it. I could literally see my body, couldn't move it, couldn't do anything. And all I could do was observe what was in this world. Yeah. God started shaking me, started rattling my cage, and all I could think of about a year later, God started echoing the things when he said in the book of Revelation, he said, come up here and let me show you something. And I started to understand that God was so pulling me into a different posture that everything I had seen prior, I'm starting to see differently. And I know we say this all the time, but it was happening, right? And so I'm seeing the sick healed, even my own. I'm having these crazy encounters with God. I mean, crazy, crazy. Let me tell you another crazy one. Can I give you one more crazy one? This one's really crazy. No, two more crazy ones. I pulled a Dr. Doolittle. You ready for this? And I was not, I mean, I didn't know. I was just going to go for anything. I've heard the story that Lynn says they prayed over the dog one time, got back up and ran off. I believe that. Everybody believe that. The dog believes it, so he doesn't care if you believe it. I remember one time, and I still haven't told my sister this because she's not really a believer, especially in this level of weird. And I remember one time I was like, God, you can heal anything. My stomach been healed. I was like, man, but you open blind eyes. And I know this sounds stupid, but my sister had a pet gerbil. Now, see, God trains you in the stuff that you don't think significant. Because he wants to know if you'll respond to the things you don't think are significant. See, most of the people he touched, they were insignificant to the rest of the religious world. They didn't matter. They were outside the gate. They were not important, had nothing to do with the kingdom of heaven nor righteousness, couldn't keep the law. They were messed up. Nobody gave a crap. Amen. And Jesus touched them. Yeah. So my sister has this gerbil, and it has one eye that was shut from birth. And I was sitting there looking at it, and I felt the Lord say, just lay hands on it. Now, I'm sitting there like, I don't remember why it was here, but it was on my sister's kitchen counter. And she had walked off for a minute, and I just got this unction of the Lord to lay hands on that gerbil. I'm just looking there like, you know, I just remember looking at my hand like, am I really about to cup this gerbil? You know, it's not really laying hands on it. It's just engulfing the little furry guy, right? And so I lay my hands on this gerbil, and I didn't even pray anything. It's just this crazy presence. And I took my hand off, and I kid you not, this gerbil who had been alive for so long, a blind man from birth, I kid you not, when I pulled my hand off, this eye just opened up and looked at me. Now, we think, well, that's just silly. It worked. It might not be like somebody got out of a wheelchair. No, I knew with the word of the Lord. I wasn't hoping. Like, I just knew, this is what he told me to do, and I was at such a place. Now, I will say this, since that time, there's been things in my walk that have damaged that level of sensitivity where I can believe him for anything. Yeah. I was crazy enough, I believe he could do anything. Anything. And so anything he said, I was willing to do. Yeah? last year, about a year ago, my mother was in ICU. And I had just recently been back from a trip to Alabama where a lady had a cancerous tumor. We laid hands on, got a report a month later with no medicine. The tumors all disappeared, no surgery required, no cancer left in her body. Later in our church, I just got healed of severe carpal tunnel syndrome, and I didn't even know she had it. She comes up for prayer one Sunday, and we just lay hands on her. I don't even pray for healing. I didn't know she was sick. I didn't know she needed to be healed. I laid my hands on her, and I don't even remember what I prayed. It was just a general, you know, prayer for somebody. The next week, she comes running and says, I've got to give this testimony. Gets up on the mic, and I didn't even know the answer yet. Gets up on the microphone and says, oh, my gosh. God, last week when you lay hands on me, your hands were like fire. And I'm sitting there like, sweet. You know, I didn't feel anything. And she says, I've had carpal tunnel severely for years, and every night would have to take medicine. And that night I went home, and it's the first time in like, what, 20 years? I don't remember what she said. 20 years, she said, I went home and didn't have to take another pill. 8 months removed, probably. She still has never had it since. Now, here's the mystery on that one. You know what? You want to know how I did that? Because I'm like the balloon guy in the spirit. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Here's how I did that. You ready? I have no idea. I just prayed for somebody, and God's presence did it. Yeah? My mom's in the hospital. Everybody stand really quick. And Greg, would you come out and play something romantic? Everybody tune in with me here. Ready? Just lay your hand on your heart for a minute. I want us to go so after the presence right now. And I know his presence is with us. How many of you guys believe that? It will never leave you. Okay? Everybody listen to me. It will never leave you. It will never leave you, never forsake you. The question isn't is his presence, the question is how aware are we in it? How sensitive to it are we? Yeah. And even though it's there, you can still get more. That's the funny paradox nature of God. Even though he's here, you can still want more. Even though he's given you all that he is, he's so enough that it can always be more. Yeah. I'm sitting at the hospital. My mom's like in a coma state, and the doctors didn't expect her to make it. They told us afterwards she was in septic shock and totally not responsive for several days. And I go to see her, and she's just a mess. I had my elder team come up. We lay hands on her, anointed her, everything we knew in the book, because I know the power's not in the oil. But when it's somebody you love to that degree, I don't care what it takes. I'm going to try everything if it's not working. Yeah. And so we're laying hands on her, everything we know to do. Still nothing. I go home and I'm at that place. I know God. I know his heart. I know his faithfulness. I know that I know how to stay in the mystery. See, some things we just got to leave a mystery and not bury the burden. Yeah. And so I'm driving home, and I'm just like, God, why in the world, you know, the suffering, the pain. She's had multiple sclerosis for, you know, 25, 30 years now, and just suffered about every day of her life. And she's going to die like that, you know. And I'm just distraught. I'm like a man's man. I don't cry a lot. I don't, you know, freak out a lot, you know. But when it was my mom, I was mad, you know. Like, I was mad. Not at the Lord, because I trust him. But I was just mad at everything that comes against what he said. Yeah. Like, I was fed up. And I remember getting home, and I got in the shower. And I'm just praying to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to me. Because really, most of the time, we get so caught up in how we would respond, we don't stop to ask him how he wants to respond. See, the mystery of Jesus, that he would walk the planet with the awareness of the living God, yet the frailty of a human frame. And he would look at a withered hand, and not only did he look at it, but he thought about it. See, I want to know, Jesus, what did you think about it? Because you submitted yourself to the point you had a human mind, yeah? He looked at it, and he thought about it the way, not necessarily the process that we would think about it, but he did think about it, right? Just close your eyes for a minute. Lay your hands on your heart. And Jesus would look at it, and then he would think about it. The question is, how differently did he think about it? See, he wasn't messed up by what it appeared to be, what wasn't there, because he knew what was there inside of him. looked at my mother and everything I thought about, I tried. I get all the way to my house. I'm sitting in the shower and I'm praying to God and I'm heartbroken and I just, there's like tears on my face. And God spoke to me and he quickened this thing to me. And I'm not going to share this tonight, but he quickened a specific thing that a story my mother had told me when I was a kid and how there had just been this lie operating in her for years and years and years. And the Lord just spoke to me. He just said, son, just cast that off for her. Now, my mom's a believer, and I'm not talking about, if you're a believer here, I do not believe you can be possessed by a demon. Amen. But I do believe we can put ourselves in a state of oppression by believing lies. And there's a lot of times we believe lies we don't have to believe. We surrender our authority. And sometimes you can have a great message of authority and still have given it all away. Yeah? And I'm sitting there and God tells me to do something that really challenged my theology. And I said, okay, God. And I just start praying against this thing. 2 seconds, no magic formula. Literally, I remember it because of the clock. 10 minutes later, my father calls. And he's giddy. And he says, you're not going to believe this. I'm like, what? And I was expecting a death call. And he says, it's like a light just came on. And then here's what he said. He said, 10 minutes ago, which by the time I had been praying, he said, about 10 minutes ago, it's like a light just came on and your mom just came to after days in an unresponsive state as if nothing was wrong with her. And she said, what are you doing? And she was joking like nothing was even wrong with her body. Yeah. See, sometimes you don't have to know how to do it. You just got to listen to the one who does. Yeah. You were made for something so far beyond this world and what you've known. Yeah. And I do believe, close your eyes, lift your hands for a minute. I do believe, and I prophesy, there is a generation who will carry the likeness and the power of Jesus like no other generation in history has carried it. And I'm talking not just a couple people, not just a powerful prophet or an apostle. I'm talking about the body of the living God. And it doesn't matter how old you are, because he doesn't have age in his current state. And so as he is, so are we in this world. Amen. There's something on your life, and I just prophetically say this over you. There's people under my voice right now that you felt that call for a greater reality all the days of your life, and you just don't know what it is. And I'm going to tell you something. Although this is amazing, it's more than just being a pastor. It's more than just a call to ministry. It's more than just launching a product into the marketplace. It's about bringing the kingdom in the manifest power of God through the most simplest, overlooked method of all, which is just listen to him. Just do what he says. He's crazy, I know. But that's what he does. Amen. And as Paul would even write, he says, you know, I'm an apostle. I've seen all these things, all these miracles. I'm good at it. Like he was good at it. And he says, you know, I'm dealing with this stuff because in my heart I delight in the law of God, but there's these things, there's this law that's waging against, it's warring against my mind, the way that I think. And every time I think about things incorrectly, it puts me back into a prison state of the thing that I'm warring against. Yeah? See, everybody knows that no one except the Lord has authority over your life. Yeah? Praise be to God. Reminded of the scripture where he writes, why do you still submit to the principles of this world as though you belong to it? When you see disease, why do you still? And I know I'm not saying every disease is going to be healed in front of your face. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we don't have to have the answer when it's not. I'm just saying we've got to be a generation who just tries like every one of them could be. Yeah. Here's what the Father wants to do. God wants to get you so far removed from the shame and guilt that keeps you, that holds you. He wants to get you so far past any cynicism or unbelief. He wants to get you so healed of any disappointment where you didn't see it work. And also, I just hear this prophetically, anybody, you've been in a place of cynicism because you've seen the weird of God. You've seen people who are flaky, and rightly so, there's some crazy stuff. But that doesn't justify being numb to the supernatural power of God. Yeah. And you can't forfeit what's potentially impossible coming possible based on what you've seen in the human realm. You can't sacrifice a supernatural God because of a disappointing human experience. Jesus died. He healed the sick, he raised the dead, he cast out demons, calmed the wind and the sea, he walked on water. And then after an amazing run of heroic portrayal, he dies. He died. Now we know he got back up. Amen. But he didn't let even the disappointment of death stop him from what he knew would be resurrection. Here's what I felt led to do tonight. If we can get our worship team up here really quick. And I know it's late and there's hot dogs and there's fire. But I think you guys are hungry enough for something that hot dogs and fire won't satisfy. Amen. I mean, you guys are just for real hungry for God tonight. God wants to release even in just encounters on your life. I could literally sit here for the next 2 hours and just talk about encounters I've had with the Lord that were bizarre. And some of them, but they were life-changing. See, Paul's encounter was bizarre. The guy's on a road, a crazy light shines, and he's face first and hearing voices. And he doesn't even believe in this guy. Now all of a sudden he's going to a city to wait on a prophet who would come and tell him exactly what just happened and who he really was. Yeah. How many of you guys know the story of the Red Sea? It's an amazing story. Great picture of the grace of God. Can I just get some of you guys, Mark and Roger and Ryan and Danny and just any of you ministers, just to come up for a minute? I'm going to do something a little bit different tonight than just the traditional altar setting. And here's what I want to encourage you in, because everybody's going to partake tonight. God's going to touch everybody. I mean, I want to. Amen. Right? How many of you guys, legit, just with every eye closed, really quick, I want to make this safe for us. First off, before I even go any further, is there anybody here tonight with every eye closed? Is there anybody here tonight, you're here, you got pulled along this thing, and you don't have to be young tonight. Let God's conviction, let His heart, let the heart of a father pull you into a love that will change you forever. If anybody here tonight that you don't even know Jesus, like you've never said, God, I just want you to be the Lord of my life. Maybe you never really believed in it. Maybe you've been on the fence. Is there anybody here tonight just by lifting your hand that would say, man, I just need a Jesus like that? Lift your hand really high. Just be bold. You just say, I've never known him. I've never known him. If you're here and you lifted your hand and you can say, I've never received the salvation of God in my life. And let me do this too, because I feel like God wants to secure something for you. Even if you're here and you have and you're just unsure, let's just secure that stuff. You got to move on. It's so secure. You can't lose it, y'all. If you're here tonight and you raise your hand, raise that hand one more time. You just say, I just want him. I don't know what it looks like. I just want him. If that's you, just come up here really quick. Just crowd around me. I want to keep every eye closed and head bowed just for a few minutes. I want to honor these guys. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Father. guys aren't getting prayer, just remain seated or standing for a few minutes. Some of you guys just pray for them. We're just going to pray with these guys for just a couple seconds. And here's, if you're still standing there and you say, man, I know Jesus, I know that power, just where you are, nobody move yet. Just stretch your hand toward these guys, because we're going to release the love of a father. He's a father who never gets tired of his children. He's a father who never gets weary. He never gets broken. He never runs out of love for you. He's a father who will never miss a birthday.
Yeah.
I just hear that word for somebody here tonight. He's a dad who will never miss a birthday. He's going to be there. He's not going to miss it. Yeah. He's not as disappointing as some of the experiences you've had. He's a father that will never miss a birthday. He's a father who's going to be there to buy your first car. He's going to light the candles for every celebration in honor of you. Yeah. He's a father who he celebrates you because you're you and he made you. Yeah. Come on, the value that Jesus has for you has to become the value that we have for ourselves. Amen. Jesus, he did this. The scripture says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that was hid in a field. And a certain man, he went into the field and he found this priceless thing that was so valuable to him. The scripture says he hid it. And then he went back, sold everything else that he had so that he could go and buy the field that the treasure was hidden in. See, the picture of Jesus is that he found such value in you that he would hide you in the frailty of humanity, ascend to the heavens and sell every last drop of who he was so that he could purchase a world that you were hiding in. That's how much he values you, that he would sell everything else to get what's inside of you over heaven. Yeah. God, we say over these tonight, we say that these are sons and daughters of the living God. God, we seal the power of salvation on their hearts. God, where there's insecurity and salvation, God, we just say in the name of Jesus, may they know that you're a Father everlasting. May they know that you're a roaring lion, a King of kings who will pull them daily. It's so simple just to say, God, I want you. There's no magic prayer. You just say, God, I believe. And I give you control. Just lead me. Give me relationship, God. Just give them relationship, God. God, I just pray over these that even as they search for you on the face value, God, that a journey of encounter starts even tonight, God, that a fire starts so deep in their being, God, that they wouldn't be able to sit still in pursuit of you, God. God, I pray for dreams at night, for visions in the day, God. I pray for prophetic utterance, God. I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to emanate, God, to saturate, to immerse them. God, I pray for the baptism, the immersion of the character of the Father and the character of the Son and the power of the Holy Spirit on these, God. Come on, if you guys came up for prayer up here right now, you guys up front, and you just said, man, I just received Jesus for the first time in my life, lift your hand really high. Be bold about it. Man, come on, rejoice, y'all. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah? Here's what I want to do. Everybody go back for 1 second, except for the ministers up here. We haven't even started the doggy pile yet. Dude, I love the power of the Holy Spirit, but still nothing messes me up as much as seeing somebody come to him. Yeah?
Yeah.
Here's what I felt led to do tonight. I was just thinking about this today, and this is what the Lord kind of spoke. I'm going to make these guys act as get out really quick. Not really, but if I can get you guys stay where you're at, and let me get a few of you guys on this side. We're going to make a little, like, Holy of Holies picture here. Yeah, let's make it even just on each side. Here's what I heard the Lord say earlier. See, what happened at the Red Sea, and this is where we are at the current state of the church, they got delivered from generations of bondage. All of a sudden, where they had always been cultured to be enslaved, now all of a sudden their culture is shocked. Someone set them free. They're out in a place that is unknown territory, and they're freaking out because they don't know what to do with freedom. They weren't cultured for freedom. They grew up in bondage. Yeah. See, for 31 years, I grew up cultured to believe a specific way, a specific thing. And Jesus shocked my culture all of a sudden, and he's re-changing my mind. He's repenting my mind. He's moving the way that I think. Yeah. But what happened is they come to this place where the enemy's chasing them, and God takes just an ordinary, messed up guy who was probably in a worse predicament than Paul. And he says something crazy weird to the guy. He says, I want you to lift your stick up, and I'm going to part the water. Now, if you don't believe in the word of God, you are not reading the Bible. The dude parted water, not like a little pond and not like a puddle of dog pee. It was an ocean of water, right? It wasn't like tiny, y'all. Is that out of bounds? He parted the water. Physical substance made it move so that his people could cross through. Now, first off, that's crazy and supernatural. But as they crossed through, their enemies pursued them. And as God's people got to the other side of the circumstance, he closed the thing that he originally parted, and it engulfed and consumed every last thing that was against them. He was constantly calling them to where he intended them to live, which was freedom. And the scripture says even Abraham by faith had to set up camp in a foreign land. He had to live in a place that was uncomfortable by faith, knowing that it was where he was being called. See, you've been called to righteousness, and it's uncomfortable because daily there's things warring against your mind that would say the opposite. You've been called to the supernatural things of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, and every day the flesh of the world is testing that. And it's making you doubt because you have to live in the place that you are by faith. Yeah. And when I heard the Lord say, we're just going to pray. And I just felt God say, do a prophetic act tonight. This is going to get crazy. Because some of y'all are just thinking, okay, cool. You're going to walk through here and you're going to get bombed. Like, I'm just saying it up front. The power of the Holy Spirit's about to just... You will not leave this place the same. Seriously, let me say this. Close your eyes. 2 more seconds. Close your eyes. Because I want you to so hear God's word for you tonight. There's people in here right now that you're thinking, man, I've wanted this, and it's not been for me, and it's not quite come. And you've set in your heart such an expectancy of it not to happen. But you need to walk up here with endless possibility tonight. And those of you who are saying, no, I'm not going to get it tonight, you're going to be the very one that gets it. And you may say, well, no. I don't know what your faith level is, but I think there's enough faith level up here in this altar right now that it really doesn't matter what yours is tonight. Okay? And if I can be as bold enough to say, if nobody else is for it, I've got enough faith for God to mess us all up tonight that he'll just mess us all up. Okay? And if you've got an issue in your life, in the name of Jesus, it's stopping as you cross through this sea tonight. Amen. If you've got brokenness in your life, I'm just going to list a few of these. If you've got brokenness in your life tonight, and specifically around, I hear the Lord saying, around the area of a father, God's going to heal you tonight. God's going to heal you tonight. Yeah. I just hear the Lord saying, as I'm saying that, the Lord's saying it's not another round of chemo. It's not another round to prolong the inevitable. Tonight, the inevitable is that you're going to be the healed of the Lord, even in emotional issues. Amen? Yeah. Here's what I want us to do. I don't even care if you're not a young person tonight. If you need a touch from God, you walk through too. There's nothing powerful about what we're... This is just a prophetic act. I felt it from the Lord, so let's just do it. Who knows, okay? But I want to make sure that every single person gets prayed for tonight. And as you pass through, these men of God, they're going to lay hands on you. Some of them may have words for you. Some of them may not. Don't think you're not receiving because you don't get a specific word. You receive because you want to. If you want it bad enough, it's up here. Because His food is free.
Come on.
And in Father's house, you don't have to ask to go to the fridge. Amen.
Yeah.
Here's what I want us to do. This is going to be a logistical nightmare. I want everybody just to create a single file line. That's like the worst thing we could try to do right now. And I want us to line up, and we're just going to start coming through this way. Okay, this is going to take a little bit, so just let's stay in tune. Like when you line up, listen to me, everybody. When we're in line, don't be talking and losing the presence. Keep zoned in. Even if you're bored, like just pray for somebody who's getting touched tonight. Okay, let's really focus in on the Lord tonight. Okay, so really quick, starting with this side, you guys just line up right here. This is about to get crazy. And you guys just fall in all around the room. Just create a long line. Get in line really quick, and this is my last instruction, okay? Dude, I feel like crazy presence right now.
Yeah.
Seriously, everybody look at me. I know this can seem kind of silly. But I really don't care what silly is when the power of God's in it, amen. Here's what I want you to do. As you're in line, as you're coming up, everybody listen to me. It's so imperative. Like if you've got something you need of the Lord tonight, or you've got something you need healed of, or just something you want, maybe for you it's, God, I want to speak in tongues, or I want the baptism of the Spirit, or I want to prophesy, or I just want to feel better. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's a sin issue. Maybe you're dealing with lust. It's okay to say, I'm dealing with stuff, okay? It's still finished work to say, hey, I'm dealing with stuff. I'm walking off of it, amen? In fact, that's what it does produce, right? If that's you tonight, I want you right now just to put your heart on that thing and start realizing the reason it plagues you is because you weren't made for it, and deep down inside, you don't really want it. That's what you have to learn to rejoice in. Now, don't rejoice in the fact that you think it has you. Rejoice in the fact that you don't want it, and it's inevitable that it has to come off. Yeah. And if you're here tonight and nothing's wrong with you at all, that's great too. But come up here and just let Him do whatever He wants to do. Are you guys crazy right now? For real, come on. Stir up hunger right now. How many of you guys are just like, I'm hungry, God. I'm hungry right now, God. I'm starving for God. Yeah. Come on, Jesus. Now it's definitely on. Come on, Jesus. Come on, you guys come. Just start coming. As you guys begin to sing over these guys, if you guys have words, give them words.
Change.